For those unaware of Chav Gimel Sivan, Chav Gimel Sivan is a date that is mentioned in Megillas Esther. It is the day, the Pasuk says in Megillah, in fact it's the longest Pasuk in Tanakh, the longest Pasuk, it has 43 words, as the Rokeach mentions in Megillas Esther, where the Pasuk says, Vayikaru Saifri HaMelech Bo'ei Sahib HaChodesh HaShlishi It's a long pasuk in the Megillah where it talks about that the Persians, Achashverosh, orders a second set of igros, a second set of documents to be sent out throughout Malchus Madai Uparas to rescind the Gezeira and to give the Jews the opportunity to defend themselves. In those days, it seems Goyim recognized that the Jews do have a right to defend themselves. That happened on Chav Gimel Sivan. Chav Gimel Sivan was actually the beginning of the V'nahapochu Asher Yishlatu HaYehudim Heima B'Soneihem. And usually, Chav Gimel Sivan falls out when we're laning Shlach. When we're laning the Parsha that talks about the story that brought about tragedy, calamity to Klal Yisrael, the story of the Meraglim, which leads to the delay in the desert for another 38 years, and eventually the Golus, as David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, in Kapitel Kuvav, where he says pretty much clearly there in Kapitel Kuvav, that as a result of Chet HaMeraglim, the Jews wandered, the Jews had to be in Golus later on as well. Chet HaMeraglim is the root cause. It was the Makkah B'Patish that brought about the Gezeira of Golus, and as the Valaturim says, it's hinted in the word Shlach, which the year of the Churban, the year that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, was the year Shin Lamed Ches, which was the year 3338, that was when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, as a result of what happens in this week's parasha. So this is a parasha in which we have the tragedy, the cause of the Golus, resulting in Moshe Rabbeinu not entering Eretz Yisrael as well, because if the Meraglim would have come back with a positive report, then they would have entered Eretz Yisrael at this time. Nevertheless, it's Chav Gimel Sivan, and Chav Gimel Sivan teaches us that everything can turn around. Just like it happened in the time of Purim. And as we'll see, although the parasha speaks about the Chet HaMeraglim, but in this parasha is also the tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. Together with the Chet is the tikkun. The parasha speaks about the Meraglim. The parasha also speaks about the mitzvahs of Nesachim, the libations, the pouring of wine in the Beis Hamikdash after the sacrifices, the Nesachim of flour and wine. The Torah speaks to us as well about Challah, the mitzvah of Challah, which is mentioned for the first time here. B'voyachem el ha'oretz, b'hoye ba'acholchem ilechem ha'oretz tarimu sruma la'Hashem, reishas harisoseichem Challah tarimu sruma. The pasuk also speaks to us about Avodah Zarah, the Torah in this parasha, and about the Mekoshesh Eitzim, and at the end it talks about Tzitzis. What does the Meraglim, the story of the Meraglim, have to do with these mitzvahs? Why were the Meraglim sort of zocha that these mitzvahs are placed in the parasha that speaks to us about the Meraglim? And the fact that the Torah juxtaposes, the fact that these parashios, these mitzvahs are besmichus for the story of the Meraglim, tells us that these mitzvahs are tikkunim for the Chet HaMeraglim. The parasha begins with the Meraglim and it ends with tzitzis. A clear connection is that Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Meraglim, "Ureisem es ha'oretz mahi." You should look at the land and see what it's all about. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu meant, look at it positively, look at it the right way. Use your eyes properly. They did not look at Eretz Yisrael properly. That was their chait. And the parasha ends with the mitzvah of tzitzis, where it says, "V'hoya lachem letzitzis ureisem." And you shall look at the tzitzis. And it's interesting that Rashi here at the end of the parasha on the words velosasuru achrei levavchem, Rashi tells us that the word tosuru is the same as the words mitur haoretz, which it says here in the parasha when the Meraglim returns, Vayashuvu Mitur Ha'aretz. The Farshim asks, why did Rashi go to that word and not the first pasuk where it says, Shlach Lecha Anoshim V'yosuru Es Eretz Kenaan, to show us that the word Sosuru has a companion in this parasha. We don't have to go to the words Mitur Ha'aretz. It already appears before V'yosuru, and then later on, Vayishlach Osa Moshe Losur Es Eretz Kenaan. Yet Rashi chose the words Mitur Ha'aretz, which is referring to their return. Vayashuvu Mitur Ha'aretz. And really, Rashi answers it right away, because he says, Halev v'ho'enayim hei meraglim l'guf. Rashi uses the exact word. The heart and the eyes are the spies for the body. Mesarsarim lo yisho averos. Ho'ayin roa, the eye sees, and the lev, the heart, desires. The ha'guf oise esho averos. So that's why Rashi did not choose the words v'yosuru, or the word losur, because at that time, the meraglim had not yet sinned. The Osuru in the first part of the parasha doesn't mean, it's not a negative connotation. It's the Osuru, they shall spy out the land, Miloshen Yisron, they shall look at the good of the land. Vayishlach Osem Moshe Losur, the word tour in English, T-O-U-R, which probably comes from this word too. But later when it says, Vayashuvu Mitur Ha'aretz, then already they were considered Rishoyim on their level. They had already looked at the land wrong. This mitur, therefore, fits more with the velososuru than the first two. But we see right away a connection between the beginning of the parasha and the end, where both talk about re'iyah. Tzitzis is a tikkun for the chet ha-meraglim. The re'iyah, the tzitzis, we look at the tzitzis, u'mekadosh our einayim, and that's a tikkun for the u're'isem es ha'aretz mahi. There's also the idea mentioned in Sfarim. The meraglim and that generation were beyond our understanding. They were so great, they're called a Dor Deya. It's very hard to imagine that these people stooped so low so quickly. And after all the anticipation of going to Eretz Yisrael, the desire to go to Eretz Yisrael, suddenly they have this, no, they don't want to go, they're afraid, they weren't afraid till now, what are they afraid of? And there are different interpretations. The Sfarim say that they were on a tremendously high level. They wanted to stay in the Midbar. They wanted to stay by Har Sinai. They didn't want to leave the Kedusha of Har Sinai. They wanted to learn all day. That's what they wanted to do. Going into Eretz Yisrael meant no longer eating man, no longer drinking the Be'er of Miriam, no longer being surrounded by clouds, meaning we have to deal with the outside world. They didn't feel that they were equipped yet to deal with the outside world. They were afraid that they're going to fall. In fact, the Meraglim used the Nephilim as the example that that's what might happen to us. V'sham ra'inu es ha'Nephilim. Who were the Nephilim? The Nephilim were giants. And Rashi says they were originally Malachim. These were Malachim in the time of the Mabul that tried to give advice to Hashem. The Hashem should have created, rather than create humans, Hashem should have created Malachim. The brachal of Atala, the humans, they're just going to give you aggravation. Mo'enoish ki siskerenu. So Hashem says to the Malachim, so you know what, you go down to earth, we'll see what kind of job you'll do, we'll see if you'll do a better job. But you'll have to go down as humans. And they came down as giants with huge Yetzirahs as well. They're called the Bnei Ha'alekim at the end of Parshas Bereishis. And not only did they not rectify the world, but on the contrary, we know what happened to them. Naflu v'hipilu es ha'olam. So these Nephilim were descendants of those Nephilim who were originally Malachim, were used by the Meraglim as proof of what could happen to us, like what happened to them. They were so high, they were so holy, and they came to this earth, the materialism, the gashmius, they couldn't handle it. They were so spiritual, they couldn't handle the materialism. That's exactly what's going to happen to us, the Meraglim said. We're surrounded by Kedusha, we're only eating man, we're drinking the Be'er of Miriam. Look what kind of land this is, huge fruits, wherever. The people there are consumed with materialism. Eretz oicheles yoshveha hi. Also has the interpretation, besides that it means that the people were burying their dead, as Rashi tells us, which was to their benefit, so they shouldn't notice despise. The Sfarim say it means that the Eretz, the Artsius, the Gashmius, the materialism, consumes the dwellers. They're so into material, the pursuit of physical pleasures, and we're going to go into that land, we're going to definitely be affected, we're going to fall, we don't have the koichus, they felt they don't have the necessary strength to be able to overcome these desires. So it's better that we stay. There was definitely something to the taina of the Meraglim. It wasn't just that they were kfuye toiva. ungracious, and they said, we don't want to go, that's it, we don't want to go. Or that they didn't believe that Hashem has the capability to conquer the 31 kings, which al pipshat, that's what the pasuk says, ki chazaku mimenu. They were afraid that they will fall, they will sin, and then as a result, Hashem will not help them conquer the land, which is what happens later on. That's exactly what happens. The truth is they were right, in a way, because later on in Navi we read that every time they would sin, the Goyim would take over, and they weren't able to conquer the Goyim. That's exactly what they were afraid of. They were afraid, not so much that Hashem can't conquer the people for them, they were afraid that they're going to be affected, they're going to sin, they're going to fall, like just like what happened with the Nephilim. And then Hashem will not conquer the inhabitants of the land for them. So there was definitely a very good reason why the Meraglim and all those who listened to the Meraglim felt that it's better for them to stay in the Midbar. Simply because there they could serve Hashem better. That's what they felt. They didn't want to go, what the Sfarim said, they didn't want to go into the Olam HaMa'aseh. They didn't want to go into the world of action. They wanted to stay in the Olam HaMachshava and the Olam HaDibur, where they could think, and they could talk, and they could daven, and they could learn, and they could contemplate. But to go into the world of ma'asa b'poel, to go into the world of action in Eretz Yisrael, they were going to have to plant and plow and cultivate the land. They're going to have to make a living. And they're going to have to serve Hashem that way. They felt they weren't ready for that. And what's interesting is, they got exactly what they wanted. That's exactly what they got. They stayed in the desert for another 38 years. You would think they would be very happy. So Hashem said, okay, so you could stay in the desert for another 38 years. And yet we see they weren't happy. So why weren't they happy if they got what they wanted? And that shows us really how great they were. Because they thought that Ratzon Hashem would be if they would stay. They thought Ratzon Hashem is we should stay in the deserts, stay by Har Sinai, continue learning kolel all day, not deal with the outside world. But the Ratzon Hashem was, yes, to go out and deal with the outside world. Once they realized that was the Ratzon Hashem, so of course, they changed their minds, but then it was too late because the Gezeirah was already there. They had to stay. That's how Mefarshim explained it, that the Chet HaMeraglim was definitely rooted in something very, very high. It was a lofty Chet. The Chet was they wanted to stay closer to Hashem, and they felt that they would lose that relationship by going into Eretz Yisrael and losing all that Ruchnius and having to deal with the Gashmias. And of course, to show that that wasn't true are the mitzvahs that we have in this parasha, especially the mitzvah of Challah, where the Pasuk says, V'hoyo ba'acholchem milechem ho'oretz torimus ruma la'Hashem. They would rather stay in the Midbar and eat lechem min hashamayim. They didn't want to have to eat regular food like we eat or drink regular water. They wanted to continue eating the spiritual food known as the man, which is lechem min hashamayim. But Hashem's answer to that is, I didn't put you in this world to be like malachim. I put you in this world to be humans. The neshama doesn't want to come down here either. The neshama would rather stay in Gan Eden and just sing and praise Hashem. That's the existence of the neshama. But the purpose is to come into this world, to come into this lowly planet, and have to deal with Gashmias, and deal with Chet, and deal with Ra, and elevate the Artsius. That's the purpose of why Hashem put us in this world. That's Challah. V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'oretz, says the Pasuk. Tarimu srum ala Hashem. That's what I want to see you do. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, there's no challenge to stay in the Midbar and eat lechem min hashamayim. I want you to go into Eretz Yisrael and eat lechem ha'oretz and deal with Artzius, tarim usrum ala Hashem, and elevate the Artzius. That's why on the word v'hoya, there's a zokev godol. As we know, we have ta'amim, trup, music notes. On the word v'hoya, there's a zokev godol. It means a zakifa gedola. The only way that a yid is zokhe to a zakifa gedola, to an elevation of Madrega is only by Acholchem Milechem Ha'oret. You have to deal with Artzius. We are humans. We have to deal with the physicalities of this world and elevate the materialism and make Gashmias Ruchnias and not stay in the Midbar and only with Ruchnias. But Adarab, just the opposite. A Jew has to go out into the world and elevate the Artzius. And the same with the Parasha of Tzitzis, where the Pasuk says, it's not enough just to see it and to remember it and learn about it, but you got to do it. In the Midbar, you can't do it. In the Midbar, you could learn Masechtas Zvachim, you could learn Masechtas Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, you can go through the entire Shas, but when it comes to actually doing these mitzvahs, the keeping the mitzvahs, when it comes to the practicalities, that can only be done in a gashmiyistical world. That's why Hashem created us in a gashmiyistical world and gave us taryag mitzvahs. 613 mitzvahs, which tzitzis is shkula keneged taryag mitzvahs, which Svarim said that was another one of their mistakes. Their mistake is they wanted to only stay in the Olam HaTorah, not have to do mitzvahs. They wanted to learn. Mitzvahs is like a step down. We'd rather just learn. Only machshava and dibur, not ma'aseh. Mitzvah of tzitzis tells us, Re'isam oisam, Zechartem is called mitzvahs Hashem, va'asisam oisam, all of taryag mitzvahs. To do with the Arve Nachal, one of the great Sforim writes that every chelik of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to another mitzvah. There are 613 chalokim in Eretz Yisrael, just like there are 613 parts to a human body, 248 bones and 365 gidim, corresponding to the 248 mitzvahs asei and 365 mitzvahs leis asei. Every part of Eretz Yisrael is another mitzvah. That's why it says in Shoftim, in Navi, in the story of Osniel ben Kenaz with Kolev ben Yefuna, who's mentioned in this week's parasha, Kolev said that whoever can conquer a place in Eretz Yisrael, which was called Kiryas Sefer, he will give his daughter to that person as a wife. And the Farshim asked, how is he so sure who's going to do it? What if the person who conquered Kiryas Sefer was an Am HaAretz? Or a person with no midos, a person that has no character, just he happens to be a strong person, so he conquered that city. Says the Arve Nachal that Kolev knew that Kiryas Sefer corresponded to the halachas that were forgotten when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. The Gemara says in Temura, 300 halachas, some say 3,000 halachas, were forgotten when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. And until that time, they were never restored. Kolev knew, and Kolev himself wasn't able to conquer that portion of Eretz Yisrael because he didn't know those halachas. So he knew, but Ruach HaKodesh, he knew, says the Arve Nachal, that part of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to those halachas that were forgotten, and that's why no one was able to conquer it. So he offered, whoever can conquer this part of Eretz Yisrael, definitely I give him my daughter, because if he's able to do it, that means he's able to restore these 3,000 halachas that were forgotten, Bimei Evel Shel Moshe. Who restored those? Who conquers the land? His stepbrother, Osniel ben Kenaz. And the Gemara says about Osniel ben Kenaz that he restored the 3,000 halachas that were forgotten by Evel Shel Moshe. Hechziron bepilpuloi. So he ends up marrying Achsa, the daughter of Kalev ben Yefuna. So we see that every part of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to another mitzvah, to another halacha. So therefore, the Meraglim and that generation, besides the few who knew the truth, when they fought Moshe Rabbeinu and said they'd rather stay by Har Sinai, they'd rather stay in the Midbar, they don't want to be Oisek in Ma'aseh, they don't want to have to lower themselves in the world of action, they'd rather learn than do mitzvahs. That's why they fought going into Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the land of all the Tayag mitzvahs. Every part of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to another mitzvah. That's why in this parasha we have tzitzis, which is a mitzvah, which is shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. It's not just a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that's equivalent to all taryag. Because the melchama against Eretz Yisrael is a melchama against taryag mitzvahs. Not only that, but Rashi brings down from Rav Moshe HaDarshan that the mitzvah of Shabbos, the Mekoshesh Eitzim, which talks about the Chilul Shabbos, Shabbos is also shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. And then he says, and Avodah Zarah, which is mentioned before that, is Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. All these mitzvahs over here, the last three at least, Avodah Zarah, Shabbos, and Tzitzis, are Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs, because Eretz Yisrael, so you do with that Moshe Rabbeinu is Begematria Taryag. Moshe Rabbeinu, Mem Shin Hei, Reish Beis Yud Nun Vav. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a neshama that encompassed all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. He was the Godel Hador, the Nasi Hador, the Tzaddik Hador, however you refer to him. And therefore he encompassed all Taryag Koiches, all the Taryag mitzvahs as well. Moshe Rabbeinu begematria Taryag. And by disobeying Moshe Rabbeinu, they were rebelling against the concept of Taryag. They were rebelling against Eretz Yisrael, they were rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Taryag mitzvahs, which is why at the end of the parasha we have these mitzvahs that are equivalent to Taryag mitzvahs. It's also known, as it says in the Arizal, and the Yalkut Ruveni brings it down, the Chidah brings it down, all the Sfarim talk about this, that every one of the Meraglim was Zoche, if you want to use the word Zoche, to the Neshama of one of the Shvatim. Every one of the Meraglim received a Neshama, B'derech Gilgal, B'derech Ibur, from one of the Shvatim. For example, Shamua ben Zakur, who's the first one mentioned here, the first of the Meraglim to go spy Eretz Yisrael, in his body came the Neshama of Reuven, his predecessor. Reuven, who he's a descendant of, entered his body. Shimon, Shafat ben Chauri, Shimon enters his body. Kalev ben Yefuna, Yehuda, and so on. Says the Arizal, what happened with Yosef? Because we know there are two here. There's Lemate Ephraim Hoshea ben Nun, and Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe Gadi ben Susi. So Mefarshim asks, why does it say Lemate Yosef only by Lemate Menashe? It doesn't say Lemate Yosef by Ephraim. It says Lemate Ephraim Hoshea ben Nun. When we know Ephraim is the son of Yosef, but when it comes to Menashe, it says Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe. Says the Arizal, Yosef was Nisaber in Menashe. Not in the Nasi of Menashe, it was in Gadi ben Susi. But not in Hoshea ben Nun. Hoshea ben Nun did not get Yosef. He got Ephraim, was the son of Yosef. That's why he says Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that Yehoshua will follow the Meraglim. He says that the others at least were Zoche to the Shvatim themselves. Ephraim is a son of Yosef, it's not Yosef himself. So the Arizal says Moshe Rabbeinu davened that the one who he comes from, Levi, Moshe comes from Levi, should go into Yehoshua. So Levi went into Yehoshua. Yikra Moshe lehoshea binun Yehoshua. Moshe davens koyo shi'achame atzas miraglim, as Rashi says. Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Yehoshua, and as the Arizal said, he was mamshech the neshama of Levi into Yehoshua. And as a result of that, Yehoshua does not join the miraglim. Just like Levi did not join the Chet HaEgel, Levi stayed apart. Kishamur imrasechu v'rischa yinsoiru. Levi doesn't send. There's no miragel sent from Shevet Levi, and the neshama of Levi goes into Yehoshua, who did not join the miraglim. And the Mefarshim, the Chidah, and others show how it's merumas and the Psukim that the Shvatim actually came into the neshamas of the Shvatim entered the miraglim, but it didn't work because at the end of the day, the miraglim did not keep to what they were told to do. They didn't. They violated their shlichus. They didn't fulfill their mission properly, and we know what happened. So the Arizal says that this is hinted in Parshas Miketz. In Parshas Miketz, we find, it's interesting, the lashon that the pasuk uses is that Yosef says to the brothers, after they arrive, they don't know who he is, he knows who they are. He says to them, Meraglim atem. Liroi says, Ervas ha'oretz bosem. He accuses them of being spies. And he says, Lirois es ervas ha'oretz bosom. Ki ervas ha'oretz bosom lirois. True, not then, but later on. The words of a tzaddik don't go to waste. Divrei tzaddikim choyim v'kayomim. Moshe Rabbeinu was accusing the Shvatim of being miraglim. Later on, they were the miraglim. They came back. They were the neshamas of the miraglim, as the Arizal says. Lirois ervas ha'oretz. They didn't go into Eretz Yisrael to look at the beauty of the land, but they came to Eretz Yisrael and they only saw the negativity. They didn't see the godless of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't look at Eretz Yisrael the right way. And in fact, that was the same chait. The fact that the Arizal is megalovis to us, that the chait over here is mentioned over there with Yosef and the brothers, shows us that there's a similarity. Because that was their chait at that time as well. The chait at that time was that they didn't look at Yosef the right way. The pasuk says, "Vayiru oso meira chok." They looked at him from afar. They didn't study him properly. They didn't tolerate him. They didn't recognize that he was really a tzaddik. They believed that he was a rasha. They believed that he was a rodef, as the Sipurno says, and all the mefarshim say that they meant l'shem shemaim. There's no question about it. But they misunderstood Yosef. And Yosef is telling them, "Meraglim atem liros es ervas ha'oretz basim." If you don't recognize the tzaddik, you're not going to recognize Eretz Yisrael either. Later on, perhaps, what the Arizal is also saying is that the Shvatim came back in the neshamas of the Meraglim to be mesakein the chait of the story of Yosef and the brothers. That's what they would, if they would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, and looked at the land properly and came back with a positive report, that would have been Misaka in the Chait of Mechiras Yosef. It's known, the Megala Amukah says, that the Shvatim believed, not they believed, they knew, Beruach HaKodesh, that Yosef, out of Yosef came Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat made the Egel in the north and south of Eretz Yisrael, and the Shvatim saw Beruach HaKodesh that out of Yosef is going to come Yeravim ben Nevat. That's why they fought against him. Megala Amukah says they felt that he was like a ben sorer umora. It says mutav sheyomu zakai v'al yomu schayiv. So they felt that because they saw the rishoyim Yeravim ben Nevat Yehu ben Nimshi coming out of Yosef, but let's kill him now so that won't happen and we'll prevent Klal Yisrael later from going through the whole chet of Yeravim ben Nevat. It was the chotei amachti asarabim. But the pasuk tells us as soon as they saw the caravan of the Yishmaelim, Vihine Orchas Yishmaelim Boa Migilod. So Yehuda said, Ma betza ki naharog esachinu v'chisinu esdoma. What do we have to kill him for? We'll sell him to the Yishmaelim. He'll go down to Mitzrayim. Nothing will happen. Nothing will come out of him anyway. Farshim say, what did they see when they saw the Yishmaelim? They were reminded of something else. By Yishmael, the pasuk says, Ba'asher Husham. By Yishmael, there too, when Yishmael was dying of thirst, it says, the Malachim says to Hashem, you're going to help him out? Let him die of thirst. You know what's going to come out of the Yishmaelim. The Arabs, besides for our generation, we're not talking about our generation, but we're talking even in the time of the Churban, when they passed the Bnei Yishmaelim, the Bnei Yisrael passed Yishmael, and they asked them for water to drink, and they didn't give it to them, because they wanted them to die of thirst. So therefore, Yishmael does not deserve to be given water if his descendants later are going to cause the Jews to die of thirst. Hashem's answer to them was Ba'asher Husham. We don't look into the future. It's Bahadi Kapshi Rahman Alamalak, like Yeshaya says to Chizkiyahu, who didn't want to get married because he saw Menashe coming out of him. So Yeshaya Hanavi says to him, Bahadi Kapshi Rahman Alamalak, these are the secrets of Hashem, they're not your business. You have to do what you have to do and not look into the future. So when the Shvatim saw Yishmaelim, they were reminded of Yishmael, when Ba'asher Husham, by Yishmael we see that he wasn't punished, even though out of him came the future Yishmaelim who tried to kill the Jews with Batsama, and therefore Yishmael doesn't deserve water. And we see Hashem gave him water anyway because we don't look into the future. Ba'asher Husham. So what are we doing? We're going to kill our brother because Yeravim ben Nevat's going to come out of him. But the fact is they did sell him and they did feel that he has to be removed because of what's going to come out of him later on. And the Maisa Yeravim ben Nevat did come out of Yosef, and later on we know what happened as a result. There was later on, by the Chet HaEgel, the Medrash says, by the Chet HaEgel, the Kitch, Mechiras Yosef, ended up becoming a big obstacle for Klal Yisrael during the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. That's one of the reasons why the Egel was in the image of an axe, and Yosef is compared to an axe. Why? Because when they made the Egel, so in Shemayim, all the Malachim said to Hashem, Bnei Yisrael, descendants of the Shvatim, who wanted to sell or even kill their brother because of Yeravim ben Nevat, who's going to later make an egel, they all made an egel. So retroactively now, as a result of what they did, this brought about a kitruk for the chait of Mechiras Yosef. One Shevet, though, was not part of it. That's Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, by not joining the rest of Klal Yisrael, by the chet ha-egel, they did not join. So now looking back, Levi is the only one that, if anything, had a right to fight Yosef. He was the only one who could say that I felt that Yosef has to be removed because of the chet of Yeravim ben Nevat. Because later on, by the Egel, Levi had no hishtatfus, no participation in the chet of Egel. So perhaps for that reason, Levi goes into Yehoshua ben Nun. And Yehoshua ben Nun does not sin. Yehoshua ben Nun, Moshe Rabbeinu does daven for Yehoshua, true. Vayikra Moshe Yehoshua ben Nun Yehoshua. Not only Yehoshua doesn't sin, but he later sends spies as well. In fact, the Haftorah this week is Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun and Ashitim Shnaim Anoshim Meraglim. It looks like an outright contradiction. You learn a passage that talks about how terrible it is that they sent spies, and the Haftorah is that Yehoshua, who was one of the spies, also sent spies. And he wasn't afraid that the same mistake would occur, right? He sent two spies, like in the Farshim explained, Malbim and others, it was a different kind of Shiluach Meraglim, it was only two. They were both tzaddikim, he knew the same mistake could not be made. They were only to report to him, not to Klal Yisrael, which was a mistake. Spies usually don't report to the entire country, they go only to those who sent them. That was a big mistake over here. It was different. But what we do see is that Yehoshua was above it. Yehoshua was misaking the Chet HaMeraglim by himself sending Meraglim later and not sinning. The Svarim tell us, and we know that the Chet HaMeraglim was the 10th test of the 10 tests that the Mishnah mentions in Pirkei Avos, the Klal Yisrael tested Hashem. Asara Nisyonos Nisu Avosenu Bamidbar. Here the pasuk says, "Vayinasu osi ze eser pa'amin v'loishlamu b'koyv." They already tested me 10 times. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi brings out from the Gemara in Erechim, "Loinechtam gzardinam shal Yisrael ela because of the chet hameraglim." The chet hameraglim, that was the finale. That was the climax. That's it. That ends it all. After that, nisoyon, the nisoyon ha'asiri of the chet hameraglim, Klal Yisrael lost their chance to go at that time to go into Eretz Yisrael, and that brings about Golus later on as well. So the Svarim tell us, the Sfasemis and others, Amayrach and this Pritzadik, others, that the 10 tests correspond to the Asora Ma'amoros, the 10 utterances that Hashem created the world with, beginning with Bereshis. They also correspond to the Eser Makos. And they also correspond to Eretz Yisrael, which is a land of 10 nations, Eser Amamin. They also correspond to the Eser Koiches HaNefesh, that the soul, the Neshama, has 10 powers to it, beginning with Keser to Malchus, Keser Chachma Bino, Chesed Gevurah Teferes Netzach Yisrael Malchus. And the idea is, it all starts with Bereshis. Bereshis is the beginning. The first word in the Torah is Bereshis. Bereshis is Keser. That's the crown. That's the highest sphere, the highest level that a person can reach. That's what we all yearn to return to Reishis, back to the Reishis. We, Klal Yisrael, we are the Reishis of the Bria. And where was the world created from? Especially the body of Adam Rishon. And this is also the Makom where the Akeda takes place, which the Akeda, incidentally, was the 10th test of Avraham Avinu, which corresponds to the Nisayon of the Meraglim. All takes place in the Makom HaMikdash, where the Evan Shasiyah was, where the world was created from. Bereshis, Bora Shis, as Chazal Darsh, and Shis means pipes. The pipes under the Makom HaMikdash, where the wine and the water in the Beis HaMikdash flow. That's the Yesod, that's the foundation of the world. That's where it all started. The Chet of the Meraglim corresponds to Bereshis, because Bereshis is the first Maimer of the Asara Ma'amoros. From Bereshis till Vayomer Hashem Elokim, either lo tov heyosa adam levado vayem Hashem alakim hine nesati lachem eskol esev lachem zorei azera leochla 10 ma'amoros. So the Svarim tell us, the Arizal says, it starts from the last maimer is really, it goes backwards. In other words, the last maimer is keneged malchus, and Bereshis, which is the first maimer, Bereshis is keser. That's, even though it's the first, but that's the goal. The goal is to reach Reishis. The same thing with the 10 makos. It starts with dam. And it ends with Makas Bechoros. What's Makas Bechoros? Makas Bechoros is the plague of the firstborn, where it's revealed that we are Hashem's firstborn. We are the Reishis. Vayaharog Hashem kol Bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim, Bechor Adam v'ad Bechor behem. Al kein ani zoveach la'Hashem kol petarechem ha'zechor, v'chol Bechor bonai efter. Makas Bechoros reveals b'ni Bechori Yisrael, that we are Hashem's firstborn. We are the Reishis, Kodesh Yisrael la'Hashem, Reishis tivuoso. And it's really, it's a pella. If you look at the last Rashi in this parasha, where it talks about the mitzvah of tzitzis and tcheles, Rashi says something which seems to be totally unusual for Rashi. Rashi usually sticks to pshat, and occasionally he brings in drush. Here he ends off that the word psil tcheles, he says, al shem shikul b'choyreis. He says, psil tcheles is merames to the decimation of the firstborns in Mitzrayim, because the targum of the word shikul is tichla. Tchelis has, that's not what tchelis, tchelis is wool dye, is blue. It's the dye of the chalazon, of the snail known as the chalazon. Some people wear it today, some people say they know what it is. So that's tchelis. And Rashi is telling us that it's a remez also to the destruction of the firstborns in Mitzrayim. And the makkah was at night, and the color of the blue thread is similar to what the sky looks like at the evening, right before it gets dark, that darkish blue color, and the eight threads on the tzitzis, Rashi says, connected the 8 days that Klal Yisrael delayed from the time they actually went out of Mitzrayim until they sang the Shira by the Yad. The Farshim asks, where is it 8 days? It's really 7 days. So it counts from Erev Pesach when they were makir of the Korban Pesach. But clearly Rashi mentions Bechoros over here. Techeles al Shem Shikul Bechoros. If you go a little before this, Rashi says, why does it say, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim by tzitzis? So Rashi says, Lama Nema Yetzias Mitzrayim. I was the one who made the distinction. He says, Bein Tipa Shel Bechor, Le'ena Shel Bechor. So I am the one who's destined, Lahavchen Ulihipara, to punish those who make believe they're taking Techeles, and they take Kala Elam, which is a fake Techeles, and they put it in the tzitzis, and they tell everyone it's Techeles. You can't fool me, Hashem says. I knew who was the Bukhar and who wasn't. I know who uses real Techeles and who doesn't. So the Pasha ends off with Techeles and the Tzitzis, but Rashi is connecting it with Makas Bechoros. Because Makas Bechoros, which is the final Makkah, the 10th Makkah, where it's revealed that we are Hashem's firstborn, we are the Rashis. That corresponds to the Rashis. The Rashis, which is the first of the 10 Mamaros. And the Rashis is Boroshis, where Hashem created the foundation of the world, which is where the Mokam HaMikdash is, where we pour the Nesachim. Right after the story of the Meraglim, the Torah talks to us about the Nesachim, about the pouring of wine, which takes place in Eretz Yisrael, in the Mokam HaMikdash, in the Mokam of the Shitin, those are the pipes under the Mokam HaMikdash, the Reishis HaBriah. And then the Torah talks to us about Chala, which Chala is called Reishis. Reishis HaRisoyseichem, Chala Tarimu Trum. Me Reishis HaRisoyseichem, Titru LaHashem Truma. One of the midrashim at the beginning of Bereshis, b'schus chalosh and nikra Bereshis, in the schus of chala Hashem created the world. We are the Bereshis of Hakadosh Baruch. We are His first. We are the Bechor. Eretz Yisrael is the Bereshis of the Bria. Eretz Yisrael, Mokam HaMikdash, this is the Bereshis of the Bria. This is the part of the world that Hashem created first, and He gave it to us, Am Yisrael, who are His Bereshis. So when the Meraglim refuse to go into Eretz Yisrael, when the Meraglim disobey the Shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't fulfill the mission. Moshe Rabbeinu sends them with the hope that they're going to come back and they're going to say what a wonderful place this is, and that's where we're going. And they were pogame in Rashis. This tenth test, which is the test of the Meraglim, corresponds to the Akedah. It corresponds to Makas Bechoros and it corresponds to Bereshis. To Keser, which Keser is the first of the Esses Sfiros. We have the ability to be Mesakeh in the Chet HaMeraglim. Especially now, especially that Eretz Yisrael is within our reach. Especially today, when we're so close to entering Eretz Yisrael. This parsha is usually read as we begin the month of Tammuz. Tammuz is the month in which the Chet HaEgel occurred. Tammuz is the month in which the Meraglim were traveling. They began their journey on the 29th of Sivan, as Rashi tells us in Parshas Devarim, and based on Seder Olam, that they began their journey into Eretz Yisrael, the 40-day journey, on the 29th of Sivan. That means the entire Tammuz, they were going all over Eretz Yisrael, and then they came back on the 8th of Av. So Tammuz is the month that is associated with Egel and Meraglim, because the Chet HaEgel was in Tammuz, Tezai in Tammuz, which led to Shavasa B'Tammuz, the breaking of the Luchos, and the whole Nesiyah of the Meraglim was in Chodesh Tammuz. So Tammuz fell as a result. That's why the Arizal says that Tammuz is the month of Reuven. Reuven is the one who traveled forth in the desert. So Tammuz is the Chodesh HaRevi, the fourth month. Reuven was supposed to be the Bechor. Reuven was supposed to be the Melech. Reuven was supposed to be the Kohen. That's what Yaakov says to Reuven. Yeser se'es, Reuven b'chori ata, yeser se'es v'yeser oz. Why did Reuven lose it, says the Pasuk? Pachas kamayim, because he rushed, he was impulsive with the story of Bilbel Yitzuei Oviv, Vayishkav es Bila Pilegesh Oviv. So what happened to Reuven is what happens to Tammuz. Tammuz would have been the highest month, it would have been the month of Reishis, because we would have received the Luchos in Tammuz. Had we not made the Egel, Tammuz would have been the month in which we would have received the first Luchos, which the Gemara says in Erevin, that if we would have received the first Luchos, there never would have been a Golos, there never would have been a Churban, there never would have been death, Malach HaMavis, Yetzirah, Shibud Malchus, would have all been taken away. Choros al HaLuchos, Cheros, al Tikri, Choros al HaCheros, We lost it because of pachas also, because we rushed to make the ego. Which miraglim and ego go together. Rashi brings over here that the miraglim was the continuation of the cheto ego. That's why it says, tisu es avono seichem loshen rabim. So Tammuz is the month of Reuven. Tammuz has to be rectified. And the mitzvahs that we read about in this parasha, the mitzvahs of Nesachim, Chala, Reishis, Shabbos, Bereishis is Oisius Yorei Shabbos. Eretz Yisrael is called the Shabbos of the Earth, Shabbos Ha'oretz. V'hoysa Shabbos Ha'oretz lochem lo'ochlo. When the Meraglim spoke ill about Eretz Yisrael, they were also speaking negative about Shabbos, because Eretz Yisrael is the Shabbos of the Earth. It's referred to as Shabbos Ha'oretz. V'yotziu Dibas Ha'oretz. Dibas Ha'oretz is b'gematria Shabbos. That's why we have Shabbos in this parasha too, the story of the Mekoshesh. Because the chet of the Meraglim goes all the way to Bereishis, because they were pogim in Eretz Yisrael, the Mokum of Reishis, Yorei Shabbos. And that's why it also mentions Avodah Zorah in this week's parasha. Avodah Zorah, says Rashi, is Keneged Anoichi of the Aseres HaDibros, another 10, another thing we see with the number 10, Asara Ma'amoros, Esa Makos, and the Asara Ma'amoros, and the Esa Makos, and the Esa Koiches HaNefesh, and the 10 parts of Eretz Yisrael correspond to the Aseres HaDibros. And here the pasuk says Ki Devar Hashem Boza. When it talks about Eretz, talks about Avodah Zorah, says Rashi Anoichi V'lo Yielucha Mipi Agvura Shamanu, which means the Avodah Zorah mentioned in this week's parsha is rooted in the first of the Aseres HaDibros, the first two Anoichi V'lo Yielucha Anoichi, which is connected Keser, Anoichi is connected Bereishis. The other shittas are is that Tammuz is Yehuda. Some say it's Reuven. That's what the Arizal says. Others say Tammuz is the fourth month, corresponding to the fourth Shevet, which is Yehuda. Yehuda is the Melech. Yehuda is from whom Kalev ben Yefuna descends. Kalev ben Yefuna, who in this parasha is the hero. But Yahas Kalev es Ha'am. Kalev does not adhere to the Meraglim. Kalev fights the Meraglim. Kalev risks his life almost. And he says, and that's why Kalev is zoicha that David HaMelech, Mashiach comes from him. Mashiach comes from Yehuda. Mashiach comes from Kalev. And the same thing from Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun was from Ephraim. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Ephraim comes from Yehoshua. Those, the two who did not participate in the chait of the Meraglim, was zoicha that from them comes the two Mashiachim, the two redeemers, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, originate, they come out of Yehoshua from Ephraim, and Kalev from Yehuda. Who Kalev was also a Meragel later on in the Haftorah, when Yehoshua sends Meraglim, one of the two that he sends is Kalev ben Yefuna. Which, as we know, his father's real name was Chetzron. The reason why he's called Yefuna, Shepona me'atzas Meraglim. He turned away from the eights of the Meraglim. Based on this, Tammuz, the intertwining of the two opinions, whether Tammuz is Reuven or Tammuz is Yehuda, Tammuz Reuven means that Tammuz fell. Tammuz fell like Reuven fell. Like Reuven fell into the Midah Ra of Pachas. In Tammuz, Klal Yisrael were impulsive, they made the ego, just Meraglim. So Tammuz fell, Tammuz, which was supposed to be the Reishis fell, but it's not as of now. But at the same time, Tammuz is Yehuda, and Yehuda is the Tikkun. Yehuda is the one who does not listen to the Meraglim. Yehuda is the one who said, "Vayahas kolev esam olay nala v'yarashnu oisak yochel nuchala." And that's why, especially this year, where this Shabbos is also Chav Gimel Sivan, which is the day in which, in the time of Purim, we were zeicha to the Venahapoichu, which began when the second Igris was sent out on Chav Gimel Sivan, which the message of that is that we can mahape, everything can be turned around. This Tammuz, the month of Reuven, becomes Tammuz, the month of Yehuda. Tammuz, which is the month of Golos, can become a month of Mashiach. Tammuz is Begematria Melech HaMashiach. Tammuz, which the Mefarshim say is based on what the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, the Hanoshim Mevakos Es HaTammuz. That's the only time it ever says that word. In Tanakh, Tammuz is an Avodah Zorah, that they used to heat up, where there was hot lead behind the, but it was like a bust, it looked like a sheitel head, and they would heat it up, and the eyes would tear, and the lead behind the eyes would melt, and it looked like the bust was crying. That's how they used to worship it. They used to worship it. They used to get it to cry. So Tammuz is a month of crying. The Meraglim Klal Yisrael cry in this week's parasha. Vayifku ha'om ba'layla ha'hu. The amount of psukim in parashas Shlach, which is 119, is equal to the word dima, which means tear. There's a lot of crying going on in this parasha because of the story of the Meraglim. A lot of crying throughout history. But at the same time, the number 119, which is the amount of psukim and shlach equal to the word dima, is also equal to David HaMelech. At the same time, we have the ability to be mahapech, the nahapech, who to turn around the Tammuz and make it, just like what Mordechai and Esther did to the month of Adar, which was also a sad month. The Avelus, after Moshe Rabbeinu's death, was in Adar. Adar was a month of sadness. There was Nepach Lohem, Miyogain, Lesimchu, Me'evel, Yomtev. The same too with Tammuz. It's known that every month has a different siruf, a different combination of Hashem's name, which is derived from a pasuk. So the Arizal was Megala, that the siruf Shem Havaya of Chodesh Tammuz is in the words in the Megillas Esther, Ze Einenu Shoveli. When Haman walks out of the party of Esther, and he's so happy, but then when he sees that Mordechai doesn't bow to him, so he says, V'chol ze einenu shoveli. Those four words, ze einenu shoveli, is sofetevis yudke vofke, backwards. When it's backwards, it's midas hadin. So the Arizal said, that's the tzir of Shem Havaya for Chodesh Tammuz. What is the combination of Hashem's name for Chodesh Tammuz doing in Megillas Esther of all places? Megillas Esther is the most joyous of all the Sfarim of Tanakh. That's why it's precisely in Megillas Esther, to teach us that what happened to Adar, what happened in the time of Purim, will happen to Tammuz. Tammuz will also experience of an Ahapochu. Tammuz will turn around. Tammuz, the month of the Meraglim, the month of the Egel, will become a month that we will rectify the Chet HaMeraglim, we will strengthen our love for Eretz Yisrael, we will strengthen our Emunah, and despite that things might look gloomy now, and we see how the entire world, the double standard, but the entire world turning against Eretz Yisrael over a small incident. Okay, they don't consider it a small incident, but the fact that they can't fagin, that Jews could defend themselves, they take a story and they distort it all. That's mamash what it says is going to happen before the Geula. There's going to be so much anti-Semitism and so much hatred. It should only encourage us that we're getting closer, and that we should be zeichetaka to come to Eretz Yisrael, that the entire world will recognize that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Am Yisrael, and Yerushalayim belongs to Am Yisrael, the Makom HaMikdash, Har HaBayis, Kosel Ma'aravi, all of this belongs to Am Yisrael, and the entire world will recognize that we will be zeichet, that Tammuz will be Nehepach, Miyogain L'Simchu, Me'evel L'Yomtev, especially that this Shabbos is Chav Gimel Sivan. It's also fit to mention that tonight, tomorrow, is Chav Sivan. Chav Sivan was a day, in many communities they say slichas tomorrow, and some even fast. The pogroms in the year 1648, Gzeiris Tach V'Tat, where Chav Sivan was a very sad day during that time. And in many kehillas and bells and other kehillas, Polish Yidden suffered a lot on Chav Sivan. The Apter Rav writes at the end of his Sefer Oyev Yisrael, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka. He says, Keis is Chav Sivan, and Ka is Yud Ke, is Yom HaKippurim. So he says, starting Chav Sivan, begin preparing for Yom Kippur. That's what the Apter Rav writes. And what's interesting, he doesn't say this, but it's interesting that there are two psukim in Parsha Shlach that we say on Yom Kippur. One of them is Slach No La'avoin Ha'om HaZeh K'goydel Chasdecho V'Chasher Nososo La'om HaZeh Mitzrayim V'Adheina. We all know that pasuk, which is said loud right after Kol Nidre. And then the pasuk, V'Yoyma HaShem Solachti K'dvarechas, in this week's Parsha. Solachti K'dvarechas, Rosh HaTevis Chav Sivan. Starting Chav Sivan already, we feel the Slicha of Yom Kippur, Ad Kedei Kach, says the Apter Rav. And especially for that which the Yidden said over here, V'Nashuva Mitzrayma. They said, let's go back to Mitzrayim, which means they weren't ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'Nashuva Mitzrayma is B'Gematria Salachti K'dvarecha. They need a kapara for that which they said, V'Nashuva Mitzrayma. And that's why the Parsha ends off, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Li'os Techem Elokim. We have to remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He doesn't want us to go back to Mitzrayim. But Hashem wants to take us out of Golus right now as well. He doesn't want us to stay in Golus. He wants us to go out of Golus. and to beg for the geula, and to beg for Eretz Yisrael, and that's what we should be misake in the chait of the miraglim, we should be zoicha, that this year Shivasa B'Tamas should be a yomtiv, and we should celebrate Shivasa B'Tamas and Tisha B'Av in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, together with all the Shvatim, and together with Yosef HaTzadik, and together with the miraglim, and with the Dor HaMidbar, which Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, for those who are learning Daf Yomi these days, that they will come back, and they will rejoin us in Eretz Yisrael, and hopefully we'll be zoicha to that immediately. A good night.